everybody. This is Adam from the Back Patio Network. We are here today on the New Path Podcast. We're going to be doing a little bit of a Pathfinder playtest for you all. Today, I have got Wes.
Hello, everybody.
Matt.
Hey, you guys.
And Hannah.
Howdy.
Today, we are going to be going through the Doomsday Dawn AP, which Paizo released with the new Pathfinder playtest. This is a free PDF that you can go onto their website and grab, and they want you to. Everybody should go and play this. Everybody should download the PDFs and review it. Send it to them. Do your part in Paizo's playtest. Now, I'm going to give this over to Matt, who's going to be our GM for part one today. Matt, are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah, let's do this, man. The first part of the Doomsday Dawn is what we're running today, the Lost Star. But first, I got to talk to Wes.
Yes.
Man, what's it feel like to be on that side of the wall?
I'm so nervous.
Right? You don't know what's going on? No idea?
I am usually so prepared when we sit down at these microphones that it's really no big deal. I know exactly how it's going to work out until Fane whips Scourge. And then after that, it's all really weird.
All right, well, no whipping in this one because this is Pathfinder 2. I know the rules about as good as nobody else in this world, and we got to figure this shit out as we go. So to get started, we're going to do our introduction of our characters. I'm going to try to follow this adventure path by the letter, what they recommend, what they want us to do, because we are doing a true playtest of this AP. We're going to be filling out the paperwork and sending it into Paizo when we're finished. So Wes, what character are you running today?
Well, I'm playing Puddle Jumper. He is a goblin alchemist. He likes to take bottles of substances and turn them into explosive bottles of substances. I can't remember if I said this, but he is a goblin alchemist, and he loves jumping puddles like his father before him.
Adam, what you playing today?
Hey, I'm going to be playing Big Mouth Teeth Knocker.
Is that Big Mouth's Zorts?
Yes, my name is Zort with a Z.
Zort Big Mouth Teeth Knocker.
Yeah, baby.
And you are a goblin.
Goblin Bard.
Goblin Bard.
The one and only.
All right, we'll be asking you a bunch of questions about the new class here.
Oh, today. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Bards are awesome now. Not that they weren't before.
Hannah.
I'm Scoot. I'm a goblin barbarian. And I go with him.
Who's him?
Zort.
Scoot and Zort are a pair, a couple? Are they married, brother, sister, mom, dad? What are we talking about? Cousins?
Yep.
Kissing cousins. Sounds like Wes' character should be part of the kissing cousins over there. So Scoot is the goblin barbarian. So we have a trio of goblins. A trio of goblins who are lost from their tribe. They're orphaned from their tribe. What happened to your tribe? Did y'all come up with anything for that?
Yeah, we were out adventuring, and when we came back, they were gone. Left us or dead. We don't care either way.
So you put a lot of thought into that one.
You know it.
Well, we were probably ostracized. That's why we were out adventuring, and then they just, poof, they gone.
I mean, do you blame them? Listen to us.
I might have knocked too many teeth.
Is Teeth Knocker the tribe?
It is now.
Tribe of three? So you're Puddle Jump Teeth Knocker, Zort Teeth Knocker, and Scoot Teeth Knocker.
Sure.
All right.
We adopted him.
So the beginning of La Lost Star is in Magnamar. The year is 4707, 11 years prior to today's date in the Pathfinder Galarian. It's Rova the 15th. It's Sunday. Warm, clear, sunny day. The three of you, as you usually do on the days that you have nothing else to do, are spending your time at the Old Fang. In the Dockway region of Magnamar, the Old Fang is a tavern. It's a nice little watering hole that most people frequent on a regular basis. Because old Ma'am Grottle runs the tavern and does not have any problems with goblins. On this particular day, you're at the tavern, the Old Fang, when a friend of yours, who you somehow, since you've been in Magnamar, have met and befriended by the name of Kaliri, comes to the tavern. She's used you guys in the past for odd jobs for a little extra coin, and on this fine Sunday, Rova the 15th, she comes to the Old Fang to find you three. She walks in. She's a young lady. She's probably in her late 20s. Regal, nice red dress, hair put up. Refinery for this fine Sunday. Hello, you little ones.
Hello, Clary. Why don't you go ahead and put that hair down and have a drink with us?
Yeah, Kay. Let loose.
Can I get you an ale?
I don't have time today. I do appreciate it. How does the day find you three?
We're drinking. So
I mean,
I'm
still waking up, too.
Would you three care to make some coin today?
Yes.
Always.
It's a day that ends in Y, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, then you know it.
I recently had my...
Sorry. Keep going. Keep going. It's fine.
I recently had my basement broken into, and I'd like to have my items returned. When I was down there checking things out, I found a young female goblin. She was hiding in the basement. Her name is Talga, and she told me that she's part of a tribe that lives in the sewer below Magnemar.
Sword's got his thieving tools, and he keeps them around a ring, and he's kind of like tossing them around his finger, you know, like rolling them over in his hands, and then he hides them real quick and goes, yeah, it wasn't me, promise.
I would never think that you would do that to me.
All right.
Talga's got a very interesting story if you'd like to come listen to her tell it. I've kept her, she was injured, I've kept her in my house. If you'd like to make some money, follow me.
Come on, let's scoot.
Sounds fine to me. If I get to talk to a little pretty lass, we'll just go right on over to your house.
She has all of her teeth.
Nice.
So you pay your bet. You pay your bar tab. You follow.
No, we don't.
You have a bar tab. You follow Kaleri out of the tavern to her house, and she takes you to the basement, where you find this young goblin Talga. Sitting there, scarred, a little banged up, looks like she's been in a fight. And as you walk in, she kind of starts to shiver and hide behind Kaleri, obviously afraid of the three of you.
Well, hello, Talga. What color are her eyes? Can I tell what they are? They're red?
Red.
Talga, you've got the prettiest blue eyes. They remind me of the sky and the stars.
Thank you. Don't hurt me.
Why would we ever hurt you, babe?
Are you from the Mud Chewers?
Nah, we're teeth knockers.
Oh, thank goodness. I need your help. My clan has been taken over by a mean hobgoblin.
Oh, no.
I feel like I'm telling like a children's story.
I hate hobgoblins.
He is the worst. Drakus, he has taken over our home in the sewers. He's the one that's forced us to come up and steal these things from my friend here. And she points at Kaleri.
Kaleri kind of stops her. She said, the reason I even came down here is I have been invited by my cousin Kendra to join her at Sandpoint next week for their Swallowtail Festival. They've built a new church that burnt down several years ago. And I'm going to take one of my items to have it consecrated at the church. But that was one of the things that was stolen by this crew. I'd be very, very appreciative if you could go down, track them down, and bring back my possessions.
You know, Cleary, we're always glad to do some work for you, but we always must discuss the nature of coin.
Certainly.
How much? He just kind of looks at her like with his eyes raised, looking out over the top of his glasses that he wears.
I will pay you 5 gold apiece.
Call it 7, and I think we'll be great. Can I roll maybe diplomacy?
Is there diplomacy?
There is diplomacy.
We're playing Pathfinder 2. I don't know if we mentioned that or not. We're learning these new rules, so there is diplomacy. Go ahead.
There is a diplomacy check. However, I do not... I mean, I can roll the diplomacy. I'm assuming you set the DC for this.
I believe in Pathfinder 2, it's no longer an opposed check.
I rolled an 18. I am trained in diplomacy, so all of my skill points, which they're not really points anymore, but all of my proficiency levels and my modifiers and everything, that brings me to a 5 for my diplomacy, which means 18 plus 5. I'm sitting at a 23 right now, Matt.
7 gold sounds wonderful. I'd be happy to pay you. You've done such good work in the past. 7 gold apiece it is.
I gotta make sure. Talga, did you steal this and take it to somebody, or did somebody show up and steal it with you and they got away?
We came up together. We've been breaking into to vaults and basements all over Magnemar, looking for items for Drakus. I was trying to escape, and there were several of us that were going to try to escape. They were all killed. Drakus doesn't take people running away lightly. He's very scary. He kills us all at a time.
So, Tago, you're telling me Drakus killed your friend?
Drakus kills us every day.
So if he keeps killing y'all, how's he going to have anybody to steal the stuff for him? That's just not a very good leadership quality.
Well, PJ's got a point.
He's powerful. People know him. They come knowing that he will protect them, but they have to stay in line.
We get new goblins on a regular basis down in our new tribe, the Mud Chewers. But I'm scared. Drakus scares me. I want to run away.
Well, hobgoblins are pretty scary, and I am quite afraid of them myself as much as I hate them. So if we have the opportunity to take out a hobgoblin, I'm all for it, especially for 7 gold pieces.
Don't worry. I'm bigger than any hobgoblin we could ever come across. I'll protect you.
No, you're not.
It's good that you have a heightened feeling of self-worth, but I must tell you, what's your name again? Scoot.
Scoot.
I gotta tell you, Scoot, hobgoblins are pretty tall.
Not taller than me.
Yeah, they are. And he pushes up the glasses sitting on his nose and begins to go into a long, lengthy discussion of the qualities of hobgoblins and how they're hairy and they're smelly and they're untrustworthy and they're typically just terrible, terrible versions of goblins. But they're tall, very tall, way taller than you, Scoot.
Kaleri speaks up. The item I am most interested in is the Star of Desna. It's been in my family for generations. I want to have it consecrated. If I don't have that item, I'm not going to go to Sandpoint. I have to leave in 7 days. So you have time to take your time and explore and find the item. And you look, there's a hole in her vault. And now that you're kind of paying attention to that more so, you do get this sweet, sickly smell of sewage coming from that hole.
Love that smell.
Hey, there's nothing better, man.
Anybody want to go for a swim?
Well, I think we should go in with a plan. I believe that plan should be to infiltrate the Mud Chewer tribe, cozy on up to Mr. Drakus, and then stab him with steely pointy knives and smash alchemist fire directly into his face.
But what about me?
Steely, pointy, nice.
I want to hit him hard.
There are still lots of goblins down there. I know you don't want to hurt other goblins, but they're more afraid of Drakus than anything you could do. They're going to fight you.
But what if we're looking to join up with Drakus? And Talga, as a former member, I think you can give us some hints.
Well, I can't help. I can draw you a map of the lair. And she looks at Kaleri, and Kaleri just runs upstairs real quick and grabs a parchment and pen and brings it back.
I actually have a whole notebook. If she doesn't mind writing it or drawing it out in my notebook, that way I can carry it around easily.
Sure, sure. And she takes it, and it's awful. It's a really terrible drawing. But that does allow us to unfurl the map that I've drawn. So you can lay that out on the table here. So it's actually to scale and north, south, east, and west are correct. North, south, east, and west are all correct.
I love this map. Well, Talga, I want to say thank you for that beautiful map. It is quite well drawn.
Thank you.
A beautiful goblin woman such as yourself with such exquisite talent should allow yourself to go on a date with a beautiful, talented alchemist such as myself.
She bats her eyelashes, starts to greenly blush, and she picks her ear and hands it to you.
And he licks it and goes, Talga, you have such beautiful green eyes, like the grass in the fields that the cows chew upon.
They're red.
I might be a little colorblind.
Okay. I like green too. In Pathfinder 2, you've got three different kinds of actions. You've got your exploration actions, and you have your encounter actions. Due to the nature of this particular AP, we are going to be going almost primarily in encounter. I'm going to try to fiddle a little bit with the exploration mode.
Yeah, they're called modes.
Modes. More than likely, this is going to be a encounter-style adventure today. Okay? So Talga gives you the map. She gives you the information about Drakus and tells you how to get to the Ashen Ossuary, as you find out is the name of the lair that they're living in. It's about a 10-minute trek through the sewers to the entrance of what you know as the Ashen Ossuary.
And I gotta say, this is a beautiful drawing you have here. The whole extent of the dungeon is unfolding before us. Little paths, squiggly paths, some straight paths, some weird-looking little tombs going on. But we are headed north right now out of the circular room that we are in right now.
Stepping into the circular room, correct.
And if you're interested in seeing the map, you can check it out at backpationetwork.com, or you can also download the PDF from Paizo. And like I said earlier, run this game for your friends.
The damp sewer passages have led to a slimy cistern that stinks of decay. In the northern edge of the circular chamber lies a pile of burnt bones in front of a scorched tunnel. In this room, it looks like a cesspool. It looks like where they drop all their trash. You've got old bones, garbage, poop. It's not quite part of the sewer. It's more of a garbage pile. And it seems that this small room has drawn the attraction of a carrion who is lying in wait for something to eat as you approach. Let's roll our first initiative.
Awesome. So with the initiative, what are we rolling with? Are we rolling with our perception for this
time? You're rolling for perception, yes.
One of the cool things about Pathfinder 2.0 is that you no longer roll just initiative. You have no initiative bonus. You roll a skill that makes sense for your initiative. And I think that's a really great way of telling the story.
It's situational. If somebody's hiding, they use their stealth. If you're looking for, you look for perception. If you're actually in a conversation that may go into combat, you can use diplomacy as your initiative roll. On that subject, there is no initiative score, or it's not a skill anymore. It's just a solid score of its own that goes up every level like everything else. All right.
Adam starting off with some great rolling.
I hear the Adam groan over there. At least it wasn't, fuck!
It could have been, but I thought it was a little early for that.
It's never too early.
All right, anybody got anything above a 20? Huh. 10 to 15.
13.
13 for Scoot.
Puddle Jumper also has a 13.
Who's got the higher initiative roll?
Not me.
Nobody has an initiative roll.
Or
right, an actual roll.
Perception modifier.
Minus one for me.
Plus three.
All right, Puddle Jump got it. And then Zort?
I rolled a one.
Of course you did.
And with my perception, it's going to be a two.
So the pile of refuse in the center part of this room shifts as a small pile of goo slowly starts to move towards you. Puddle Jumper, you have initiative.
How?
I have no idea. Your highest one?
No. Scoot and I rolled the same number. And she's got a way higher number than me.
Yeah, she had a plus three perception.
And he's got a negative one. All right, yeah. Scoot goes first. Yeah.
Okay,
so Hannah, in the debut Pathfinder 2 recording, first combat, first initiative, you get to go first.
I'm going to hit it.
So let's talk about actions. We have three actions now in Pathfinder 2. That can be used for anything. Movement, stepping, striding, striking, spells. So speak in the term of actions for the first couple of rounds of combat,
sure.
Maybe the first couple of combats, mm-hmm. So we can get in our head how the action economy works in Pathfinder 2.
Sounds good. Okay, so I'm going to step forward, and I'm going to take my maul, and I'm going to strike the puddle of goo as hard as I possibly can.
Roll the hit.
17.
17's a hit. This thing is not moving hardly at all. It has no armor. It is just a pile of goo. You nail it. Roll some damage. Actually, congratulations. That's a critical hit.
Oh, nice. So I'm going to take a quick second and explain critical hits to everybody. You can crit on a natural 20 now, as always, and you can also crit if it's 10 higher than their AC. It makes it really nice because now you can crit a lot more. However, you can also critically fail by missing by less than 10. So if you miss 10 or more, then you're critically failing as if you were rolling a 1. So you got to be careful.
Nice thing is, strikes do not have a critical failure result.
Right.
I'm sure as the game goes on, we'll all add our own little flavor for critical failures. But right now, rules as written, there are no critical failures for a strike.
Right. No fumbles.
And no confirm rolls either for a crit. If you roll a natural 20,
That's a crit. Which is awesome to me, because I think we all know how often I roll natural 20s and then immediately roll once.
Oh, man.
All the time.
Confirmation was not a good idea. I never liked it. I do hate to dampen the spirits of your critical hit, though, but a pile of goo is immune to critical hits.
Oh, man.
The DM giveth, the DM taketh away.
Holy shit.
But please, roll damage. What you got?
Oh, my God. Okay, that's a 9 plus 4. 13.
13 points of damage. Mm. You splatter this sewer ooze, but don't quite kill it.
I was hoping it would be one shot, one kill. So nice, though. Great.
Puddle jumper.
Oh, I love the idea of this barbarian like dashing forward and smashing this gooey pile of grossness that really Puddle Jumper just wants to roll around in it. He is so excited to be in this refuse and all of this gross smelling stuff for a normal person. But the goblins are going to love being right here. So is there a possibility that I could roll an arcana check to get any knowledge on this creature?
You can roll a knowledge check. I don't think it's arcana. I'm not overly familiar with the different kinds of knowledge so far in Pathfinder 2.
Sure.
What all do you have skill in? What are you trained in?
Pretty much just arcana at this point is the only knowledge I have. So if it's not a arcana type creature, like this one may fall under even occultism or nature.
This one, I would call this one definitely a cult. This is an occult creature.
So I'm not trained, so I cannot make that roll. So I search my brain space.
Now, hang on.
Okay.
I don't think that means you can't roll. It just means you have a minus two to your roll.
Oh.
I don't think there's any non-rolling because you're not trained in it. You're just not as good as somebody who would be.
See how much we're learning already today?
Yeah. So you can roll it. You're just not as good as you would be if you were trained.
Okay. So now's a good time to talk about training, expert, master, and legendary. Those are different levels of every skill, every ability. It applies to weapons, it applies to armor, it applies to all of your skills, your saves. Pretty much everything is Timmel, trained, expert, master, or legendary. If you are trained, you just add 0. If you are not trained in a skill, which is what I'm going to do with this occultism roll, you take a -2 proficiency roll. So I have a +4 to intelligence, I have a -2 to proficiency, so I'll add 2 to this roll.
And this is an action. This and consumes.
This is an action. Yes. To do a knowledge roll is now an action.
Yes.
Okay, so that is a total of 15.
15.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sewer ooze.
Okay, aptly named.
It is immune to damn near everything, including critical hits, precision damage, acid, can't put it to sleep.
Is it immune to fire?
It is not.
Okay. So I'm excited by the fact that is immune to fire. So for my first action was a knowledge check. Okay, so for the next action, I believe it is an interact action to pull an alchemist fire vial out of a belt, a pouch, a loop,
yeah,
something.
It's like interaction, manipulation, items, things like that.
And then I will throw this bomb.
Now, the funny thing is, you're not within 5 feet. But attacks of opportunity aren't just given willy-nilly to everybody that walks into a fight with a weapon. To my knowledge, fighters so far that I've found are the only people that have the ability to take an attack of opportunity. Which, if there were a fighter next to you and you're fumbling around in your backpack, he could smack you.
Right.
Just want to get that out there. That's a little more information. Attack of opportunity is not nearly as ubiquitous. It's not a lot like it used to be.
All of the wizards and ranged attack classes rejoiced when they recognized attacks of opportunity, not really a thing unless you were specifically trained in that feat, skill,
correct,
ability.
That is true. So go ahead, Puddle Jumper, what you got?
So now I'm going to basically do a ranged touch attack and most likely completely miss. 8.
Hit.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding. You
Holy
hit.
Holy smokes. Okay.
Nice.
Nice. All right.
You said range touch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you hit.
All right. So with the alchemist's fire vial that I just hit with, it is a D8 of fire damage. So that is, oh my God, 1 point of damage.
Starting out strong.
Yep. That is also 1 persistent fire damage. You now have to spend an interact action to not be on fire,
or submerge in water or somehow get rid of all air to make the fire go out.
Okay. And now, while we're on the subject, are you going to talk about persistent damage and how to get rid of it?
In just a second.
Okay.
And then also, everybody within 5 feet take splash damage. So, Scoot, you are going to take 1 point of fire damage yourself.
PJ, you asshole!
Well, I told you to get out the way.
So persistent damage, unless you're assisted by someone else, requires a flat check. And in Pathfinder 2, flat check is just a d20 roll. Unless you are assisted by someone else when you're taking persistent acid or fire or bleed or any kind of persistent damage, it is a flat check DC 20 to stop it. Unless you take the actions that you described earlier, like water or what have you with fire.
Holy smokes, a flat DC 20?
Yeah, you have a 5% chance of taking care of it of yourself.
Even if you spend the interact action to do it. Because it's the way the Alchemist Fire is written. It says persistent fire damage, or they have to spend an interact action to make it go away.
That might be specific for that. I was reading something about bleed. It might be a bleed issue and acid as well.
Sure.
I'm not sure, but we will figure that out as we play.
You said he's immune to acid damage, so I'll use my acid flasks later. But for the fire damage, I'm pretty sure written in Alchemist Fire, all they have to do is spend an interact action to put it out or submerge themselves in water.
Well, it just so happens you can see on the map that I've drawn those little squiggly circles. Those are puddles of water.
Oh, good.
And it looks like that Scoot is standing in a puddle of water fighting this piece of goo.
Fantastic.
Was that all your actions?
That is all three of my actions.
It is the sewer ooze's turn. First thing it will take an action to cast Filth Wave.
This thing can cast spells.
It kind of like shoots its own nastiness in a 20-foot radius.
That's gross.
Yeah, it's pretty foul. Everybody within 20 feet get to take D4 acid damage. Give me a reflex save.
Oh, before you do this, I would like to actually interrupt.
Okay.
As a bard, I can do a triggered action, and it is one of my... It's considered a power. It's not necessarily a spell, and it's called counter performance. So basically what I do is I interrupt like this. It takes away from my... It takes one of my reactions, so I can only get one for the round. However, I get to roll my performance check, and if my performance check is higher than anybody's roll, they get to take that instead.
That is to counter a visual or auditory attack.
Correct.
Or spell. This is not either of those.
Oh.
So would not have triggered.
Okay.
I like it. I love it because that's a much better ability than the Bard 1.0 had.
Absolutely,
the counter. But it doesn't work in this situation.
Okay.
If it was, if it was like a color spray, definitely. But
so this isn't a spell. This is like a physical thing of the ooze.
Correct.
Gotcha.
It's just sliming you.
You watch out. I'm going to use this.
I know. I stay on it. All right, everybody, give me a reflex save. What you got, Hannah?
14.
You take a point of damage from the acid, and you're hampered 10. Hampered 10 is a condition that reduces your movement by 10 feet until the hampering condition is gone. This will last for 1 minute. You can spend some time basically wiping the slime off your feet and face to reduce the hampering by 5. Each time requires an action.
Zort rolled a 6, and I have a 2 for my reflex save, so a total of 8.
You take 2 points of damage, and you have hamper 10.
Awesome.
10.
10.
For Puddle Jumper.
Wow, y'all are rolling rocks.
Yeah.
4 points of damage, and you have hamper 10.
4 point.
So that was the sewer thing's first action. It will now take 2 attacks against Scoot. First strike is the first strike of the round, so it is rolled at full attack bonus.
Son of a bitch.
Does a 16 hit?
15.
Your armor class is 15. 16 is more than 15.
Oh my god!
You just got smacked by a pseudopod that launches out in the middle of the body of this
sewer
ooze. You take 4 points of bludgeoning damage.
Damn.
And 3 points of acid damage.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
And it swings again.
What the hell?
The second strike is at -5. It's the second strike that it's taking for the round. That's how strikes work in Pathfinder 2.0. If you take all 3 of your actions to use as strikes, it's regular, -5, and then -10. So this thing is going to try to hit you again with a -5 to hit.
Oh, God.
This is some horse shit.
Oh, God.
I think part of the Pathfinder playtest was seeing how many times people die. Mm-hmm. We're about to have our first PC death.
Oh, God. I hope not.
God.
Cop guy.
This is the first fight.
Does a 17 hit.
Oh, man.
Holy crap.
Jesus.
No,
yes.
No. I forgot. -5. 12.
-5.
12.
Okay.
12 hit.
Okay.
Okay.
12
okay.
hit. Okay. Yes, no? All
right. Yes. 15.
Okay. You're good.
We're good. Solid.
Zort.
Woo. Awesome. So Zort is seeing all of his friends get beaten to death, and all he's thinking about is it's great that he hasn't bathed in a few weeks. He is going to cast Shield,
okay,
which is just one action, and it is a visual component. So he actually plays a kazoo.
So Zord plays a kazoo.
Yes.
Yeah, he plays a kazoo and he doesn't hold it. He's got one of those neck braces. You know what I mean?
Like the harmonica holder?
The harmonica holder.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Around the neck.
And he's doing that because he constantly is holding his two-handed spear.
which is...
It's interesting because he has reach with this spear, so I can hit from 10 feet away. There's no size requirements for weapons as far as I can tell.
There's no size differences in 2.0 that I've seen. You're 3 feet tall with a 10-foot spear.
Exactly.
Amazing.
First action is going to be the shield. So he casts shield on himself. This allows me to have a trigger. So if something were to hit me, I can raise my shield essentially and use its defense to bolster my AC, or I can use its hardness to take some of the damage away, which is really nice.
You get both.
Right.
Yes. So if something hits you, the shield can take damage down, and if it exceeds the shield's hardness, that damage goes away and the shield disappears.
Absolutely. All right. What's great is this is just a cantrip, and it only takes one action. For my second action, I'm going to inspire courage, which I think we all know as a bard. Absolute beautiful. And the cool thing is this is now a cantrip. They have changed it to where you no longer have bardic performance rounds. You don't have to do so many rounds in a day. You can do your performance. They're just cantrips. So basically, you cast it. It costs one action, and it lasts till the end of the next round.
Nice.
That sounds really
well,
nice.
That's great. I'm reading it as it lasts until the beginning of my next turn. So
correct.
The moment my next turn kicks off, the cantrip's gone, and I can recast it again if I like.
Yes.
There are feats that they allow you to take where you can extend those cantrips, that you can extend those performances, so they last two rounds, but I think it's great. I mean, it's a really neat way to change up the bard and make them a real A player at this point.
And it's just an action. You have two other actions. Like, you cast a spell, and you've cast your bardic performance, or you've done your bardic performance, and now you can attack.
Can I ask one question before you move on to the attack phase?
Of course, Wes.
With casting that spell... I've heard that spell casting is different now. A lot of times it can use up to two actions because for each action you get a somatic, a verbal, and a material.
Correct.
So what did the shield take?
So the shield took one... I wrote V for visual.
It's verbal.
Verbal, thank
verbal,
you.
Verbal, yeah.
I said visual earlier.
We know. We love you, Adam.
So the shield cost one...
I think that's why I was doing this.
There are silver and gold points.
Yes.
They are now visible components.
Yes.
The shield cost one verbal action.
Hey, Wes. Yep. Have a hero point. That was brilliant.
I'll take it.
So the way the spell's casting is really cool for the bards. They are now the leading occult caster, basically.
Okay.
So the way that this worked, I cast Shield, which was one verbal component and one action. I then cast Inspire Courage, which was one verbal component and one action. The cool thing with bards is that you can do a verbal component, a material component, and a somatic component with your instrument. So you don't have to have magical components to cast the spells that take the magical components. You just have to use your...
I'm so confused right now. What does that mean? So you can use your instrument in place of a material component?
Absolutely. Instead of having a material component, you use your instrument. Instead of singing, you just play your instrument. It also counts as somatic. So it can fill in for any of those roles. Whereas other casters actually have to have material to infuse their spells, basically.
Now here's the trick. Can you cast without it? If you lose your kazoo or whatever, can you cast with... Oratory or some other performance.
Really good question. I would think that you could fill in with something else because you have the perform skill.
Okay.
However, I have not seen anything about that. I've not seen anybody say otherwise.
Okay.
So that's a good question.
That'd be harsh.
Yeah, that would be harsh. Yeah. However, I think that would be somewhat fair.
Yeah, but if you can use any kind of perform, like oratory or singing or whatever have you, you could...
sure.
use a backup.
But I think that if you were to have to switch over to that, in my opinion, to level it out, you wouldn't be able to use the material component, right? Like, if you don't have the actual physical instrument, then you shouldn't be able to use your voice as the material component. That's just the way I see
it's
it.
Possible.
Yeah. Anyways, so I now have one action left, and with a weapon that has reach, I can hit him from where I'm standing.
You're 15 feet away, essentially. You'd have to do a step to get closer to it. You cast a spell, you inspire courage, and you move in one round.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually not close enough. I thought I was looking at the map. I'm not. So I'm just going to take a step, which is just basically the 5-foot step.
Yes.
And it is considered a move action.
Yes. Scoot, it's your turn.
Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to hurl myself bodily into the puddle I'm standing in and start splashing myself because I got that goose shit all over me.
You're talking about the hamper?
Yeah.
It reduces your movement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can take an action to drop it by 5. You can take a second action to get completely eliminate it.
Yes.
Then you have one action left.
Okay. I think I'm going to stand up and hit it again.
Don't forget, with my Inspired Courage, you have a +1 to your attack.
Is it just attack now, or is it attack and damage? It may have changed. I'm not sure. So you're going to try to strike it?
Yes.
Go ahead and give it a shot.
I'm going to strike. Oh, God.
What'd you roll?
Roll a 1.
Oh. Well, there's no fumble, but what's the total?
6.
That's a hit.
That's a hit?
That's a hit.
No kidding. Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong,
uh-huh.
but is a natural 1 an automatic miss still?
I haven't seen anything. Yeah. I haven't seen any critical failures. I don't know.
I could have sworn I saw that it was.
Is it?
Like Makes a natural sense. 20 is an automatic hit. Like it still has that. Natural 20 is automatically right. hit even if it's not a crit. And a 1 is still an automatic fail even if it's not a critical failure.
Let's go with it for now. If somebody will kind of look into that as we continue, we'll call that a miss, Scoot.
So with my Inspire Courage, Matt, you were asking, it is a +1 conditional bonus to attack rolls, damage rolls, and saves against fear.
Cool. So it's basically the same thing as Pathfinder 1 as far as the what you get from it.
We're reading the rule book, y'all. If your roll would equal or exceed DC even on a 1, you don't critically fail, but you still fail instead of succeeding. You can't succeed when you roll a 1, no matter what your modifier is.
So you miss.
Shit.
We're gonna get this shit right, damn right. it.
Hey, it's a new game. We're learning this crap.
God.
Sorry, Scoop. Good effort, though.
Awful. It's a disaster.
Love it when the players hate me because I read the rule book.
Puddle Jumper.
Even when you're just playing, you're still a GM.
Yes, sir. Okay.
It never goes away.
Resident know-it-all. Just kidding.
So I am going to use an interact action to pull out my staff. I am then going to use the stride action to move 5, 10, 15, 20 feet.
What's your normal movement?
25.
You have 15 because you have hamper 10 at this point.
I forgot to write that down, so I don't have it. It's not on my character sheet.
I know. That's awful. You should write it down.
So I move 15
feet.
There you
go. There you go.
And I am still now diagonally attached to said ooze. And I will now use the strike action to attack this ooze. I rolled a total of 15.
That, on a normal creature, would be a critical hit. Because this thing's armor class is 5.
Nice.
However...
Yeah.
They don't have any organs or spines or anything, so you just hit it normally.
I'm also using 2 hands with this thing.
And now, explain that, because I didn't see anything about that when I was reading the rules. I'm interested.
Right. So you can choose to attack with certain weapons. Let's take that back a second. All weapons have traits, and each trait means something to that weapon. Some of them have the trait two-handed, which means typically you can use it as either a one-hander or a two-hander, your choice. If you use it as a two-hander, you do more damage. There are certain weapons that are two-handed only, so they don't really have the two-handed trait because it's the same damage. But the staff, I can use as a one-handed weapon and do a D4 damage, or I can use it two-handed and do a D8 +1 damage.
Nice.
So I'm using it two-handed, and I do 3 points of damage.
That was your last action?
That's all tree, baby.
Okay. It's the Suru's turn. And it's not really got much of a brain. It's reactionary, so it's going to hit what hit it. It's going to try to attack Puddle Jumper 1, 2, 3 times.
I dive out the way.
First attack, 14.
Oh, yeah, that'll hit.
This is not going to be good. Are we going to have a TPK in the first room of this adventure? It might just happen that way.
Yes. I mean, it would prove a point. We've talked about how deadly we all believe this game is.
Mm-hmm.
So the pseudopod strikes you for 7 points of physical damage, 3 points of acid damage.
Now, did you remember all my Inspire Courage for you?
No.
Why cast it?
We're going to work with you, Adam, on your Inspire Courage, I promise. For next session, I've got some ideas to help us all remember. So I have taken a total of 14 points of damage. My total hit points are 16. So go ahead and kill me, and let's go over the dying rules.
So
as I throw a pencil across the room.
Adam, just to let you know, I added a point of damage that he did.
Thank you.
To take into account, because I love bards that much.
baby.
And I'm a fan of you, too. All right, so second attack, Adam minus 5. I rolled a 5, that's going to be a miss. Third attack, I rolled a 2. Fan-freaking-tastic. All right, so you're not dead just yet. However, it is Zort's turn, and he might try to kill you because you didn't do the bard thing.
Okay, so looking at the map, one of the great things about this is that I know that this creature probably doesn't have attacks of opportunity, which means I can take a full stride action and be flanking him with Scoot.
15 feet. You are now flanking.
Now, Matt, would you like to tell us what flanking does in 2.0?
Flanking hasn't changed much except for the fact that instead of everybody getting a plus 2 who is flanking it, the creature receives a minus 2 to its armor class for the people that are flanking it. And that is because it is considered flat-footed, which does trigger rogue abilities and certain other abilities just like it did in first edition. So now you have an armor class of 3 to hit.
Nice. Which means I'll probably miss.
Just don't roll a 1.
All right, so my second action will be an attack or a strike. And I rolled a 6 with my spear. That is going to be an 8 total.
8 is a hit.
Awesome, and that does 1d8 worth of damage. And I rolled a 6, so that's 1d8 plus 1, which is my strength. 7 points total, plus my Inspire Courage is going to be an 8 point damage.
Got it.
It's not dead?
It's not dead. It's a big old tough puddle of pus. Go ahead.
I've got my third action, which is going to be another strike, and I'm going to take a minus 5 at that. And I actually rolled a 19.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, yeah.
So a 19 with a minus 5, that brings me down to
14.
14. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Plus my bardic inspiring courage, 15. Which actually it isn't applying because it was the beginning
you
of my round.
You didn't do
I
it.
I didn't recast it.
I'm taking that hit point back.
Yeah, as you should. I'm so used to playing with performances that just ongoing. Yep. Yeah. So anyways, 19 minus 5 brings me down to a 14 plus a 2 is 16.
That's a critical.
That is a critical.
But it's slime. You can't crit.
So used
slime.
To not critting anyways. It's okay.
I know.
And that is a maximum damage. 8
nice.
Points plus yeah. 1 strike.
Oh, yes.
9 points total.
It's still alive.
What? God, what? Really? Oh
it
my
is
gosh.
Still alive.
Okay.
Scoot.
End of my round.
You have another action? Is that it?
No, that's it. I still have my shield. It has not taken place yet for me, so.
Okay. Scoot. This thing is still kicking.
What?
What do you do?
Smash it.
I'm going to take another big, hearty swing and strike the pile of goo.
Do it.
Do your thing, Scoot.
What you got, Hannah?
I rolled a 19.
Oh, it's a hit.
I'm nice. So excited.
That's a crit.
Don't say it.
Can't wait till you can kill some goblins, because you can crit goblins.
Get all your disappointment out right now with criticals. Because we're only going to roll them against this thing.
I wonder if they did that on purpose. Like, give this thing an armor class of 5, because you'd be critting it like crazy, but I'm so sorry.
Demonic. It's a good way to show how the rule works.
That's true.
No,
that's
it's
true.
Evil.
You heard that, Paizo?
Just kidding.
We're looking at you.
So that's a total of 24 points.
Of damage?
No, not of damage for my hit.
Yeah, we were
I'm
all
excited
shocked
about this hit.
Yes, so are we. Kill it! Kill it with fire!
4.
It had
plus
4 hit
eight.
Points. 8 hit points!
8!
Alright, what kind of weapon are you using? Is it a big hammer?
It's
what
a maul.
It? Maul. So with a big, heavy overhand strike. You come down on this puddle of goo, and it just splatters all over this room.
Yeah!
You are covered
nice.
In
right.
sewer goo goo.
Hey, way to go, Scoot.
We're mighty proud of you, dear.
Thanks, guys. Means a lot.
Zord will take some of the goo and like wipe it under his eyes, like a football player.
Nice. Oh, like maybe some woad,
yeah.
Like put a hamper in on your face.
Yeah.
And now the combat's over, you can take the time to get rid of the hamper.
Yeah.
Wash yourself off, people.
and I am going to reach into my bag and I'm going to pull out another potion. This is going to be an elixir of life minor.
That's a D8, if I'm not mistaken.
D6.
D6.
And okay. I am missing hit points, so I will just heal some hit points. That will be 2 hit points healed.
I'm going to roll off for healing.
Oh, okay.
I got a 1. So what'd you get?
I got 2.
Hey, you doubled mine.
Hit points of healing.
So Wes, out of curiosity, I know that there's this new thing in 2.0 called resonance. Do you have to spend resonance for your occult potions? They're not occult potions. They're alchemical potions.
Alchemical, yes. For these, this is an alchemical potion. So the alchemist class is different than every other class that plays in Pathfinder right now, as far as I can tell. Every other class bases their resonance off their class level and their charisma modifier. That's how many resonance points they get. The alchemist has to actually spend resonance points in order to make the alchemical potions in their daily preparations.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
So if I was stuck with a +1 charisma and a first level class, I'd have 2 resonance points, which means I'd make about 4 total potions.
Okay.
Two of each spell. So alchemists have an ability called studied resonance. Basically, it allows me to use my intelligence modifier instead of charisma to give me resonance bonuses. So I have a total of 5 resonance points in the morning to prepare my alchemical potions. I basically get to choose like 4 formulas out of my formula book, and I can make 2 of each of those for free in the morning as part of the daily preparations. What was your question?
I was going to ask, with resonance, and this is just my understanding, you have those amount of points, and then you get down to 0. Once you hit 0, you can still use resonance, but you use it at an increasingly more difficult DC. Is that correct?
Yes.
Just want to make sure you understand it. I also have resonance, but I don't have nearly as much as you, and it sounds like I won't use it nearly as often either. Yeah. So.
But you use resonance to create items.
Right, and once it's created, I don't have to again spend the resonance points to use it during the day.
And it's not even so much that you're creating, well, maybe for you, you're creating the items, but for the typical person, resonance is to infuse their items with magic so that way they can use their magical properties.
Yeah, it's almost like they infuse part of their spirit into the item to be able to use it.
Right.
But for alchemical items, it might be different for an alchemist. I don't know exactly how that build is. But should you find an alchemical healing potion, that does not require resonance. It is only magical items, healing potions that are magical. Wands, scrolls that are magical require resonance to use.
Armors and swords. When you wake up in the morning, you have to infuse them with your resonance to use the magical properties.
For the entire day. So it's not per encounter or anything. So you basically it sounds like you kind of put part of your spirit into the item to make it yours and usable by you.
Yep.
So you're standing around this 30 by 30 round room full of refuse, filth, and a splattered ooze. There is an opening to the north about 15 feet from the closest one, 5 feet wide. And there's another thing. Goblins have dark vision, yes?
Yes,
because
they do.
Because it is dark down here. There is not a bit of light.
That's fine with me.
It's the same thing, 20, 30 feet.
60.
60 feet. Mm-hmm. You see in total darkness, black and white. You see all the way down this rough hewn. It doesn't look like... it looks like a natural tunnel. Continues on about 20 feet. Hangs a left, kind of curves around. And when you go around the curve, you can see on through into a larger room that's opened up. Directly in front of you looks like a pillar that has been carved into this large room. And you can see the far wall, and you can see that it's, again, part of something that's been built and produced. It's no longer a natural wall.
Drakus! Drakus, where are you?
Give me a perception check. Everybody.
Puddle Jumper got an 18.
18.
13.
Zort got a 6.
Well, amazingly enough, while your Puddle Jumper is yelling and screaming for Drakus, you also pick up on what was not there earlier, but the sounds of something or several somethings coming your way from the right inside that large room.
Ah, shit. There's stuff coming. Scoot, you want to go ahead and actually enter said room and go ahead and take out these things that we hear?
Yeah.
Who do goblins worship again? I'm trying to find it. Caden Castle?
Caden Killian. Caden Killian. Or the Drunken Hero.
Yeah, so for my three actions on my round, I am actually going to go ahead and cast Inspire Courage.
All right.
And I am casting this as a performance, as always, so I'm playing my kazoo, and I've got a little song.
Oh, hi, we got songs from the goblins. Let's hear it.
It's a goblin bard.
We killed an ooze. With PJ and Scoot, we cannot lose. By Drunken Hero, I want some booze.
So you worship Caden Kalian?
Yes, of course I do.
Nice, nice, nice. You are all very inspired, and so am I. So why don't you just take this with my blessing?
Oh, hero point!
Can we talk about hero points? Can we talk about hero points now?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So hero points. We have used them in Pathfinder 1.0, and they're pretty darn powerful. Here, they are part of the base game as rather than optional rules. Everybody gets a hero point at the beginning of the session. When that session is over, that hero point is gone, so you should use it. You have basically right now three options for using hero points. Option one, spend one hero point and take yourself from dying to giving you like a hit point.
Yep, right, one hit point.
Which is going to be very important, as demonstrated by our previous combat. Even a 5 AC ooze at level 1 is going to wipe out a party of 3 to 4 people pretty easily. The other option is to spend 2 hero points and add an action.
It's 3 hero points to take an additional action. I don't quite remember what 2.
Then I believe 2 allowed you to reroll.
And 2 is rerolling.
That's it.
I remember there was 3.
Yes.
So 2 is rerolling. 3 is taking an extra action, so you can take 4 actions that round.
Correct.
Which is kind of cool.
Yes.
And those are hero points. And we now have 2. We have these fun little tracker pieces that we like to keep around for this podcast. And good old Adam for his wonderful song.
Nice.
Got an extra one. Also, as part of the rules, the GM, it is recommended by the rules that the GM gives out no more than one extra hero point for the number of players sitting at the table. There are 3 players. He's probably not going to give out much more than 3. So, Hannah, you better get going, girl.
Looking at you, Hannah. However, somebody brought snacks, so my hero point pool was 4, not 3.
It is also in the rule book that if you bring snacks and bribe the GM, that is totally fine.
Yes.
I love Paizo.
Works for me
every time. Supporting the DM. That's a great
Bribery's
idea.
Encouraged.
All right, Scoot, you've got 3 actions. You have 1 round. What would you like to do in preparation?
I took my bow out.
Take your bow out?
Yeah.
Get ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Puddle Jumper, what you got?
Puddle Jumper is going to do the dumbest thing possible. Which direction does he hear these sounds coming from, the right or the left?
It's kind of echoey, but you're pretty sure it's coming from your right.
From my right.
North, to the north.
So he's going to use a stride action and go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, that direction. He is going towards the north. He takes a right-hand turn and charges 25 feet into the darkness.
Excellent.
Isn't dark for you? We goblins have dark vision.
Yeah. Well, but it's still the darkness.
Okay.
You see black and white when you have dark vision, so.
So as Puddle Jumper takes off to the right around the corner, he sees a quartet of 4 goblins who looks like they were up at the far north of this enormous chamber that you've walked into, creating what looks like a haphazard statue of some kind out of twine and crap and just whatever refuse they can find down here in the ashen ossuary. The walls of this long chamber are scorched dark, and the thick layers of soot crusting the ceiling above attest to the tremendous fire that must have raged through this room in the past. Barrel niches in the walls and the row of the central pillar contain only fragments of burnt wood and charred bone.
Did you say barrel hitches?
Burial niches. Like
I missed that too.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I didn't enunciate. The funny thing is, though, is when you come around the corner, in response to the great song that they heard from Zort, they all 4 start. They're scoblins.
They're scoblins?
What the hell is
that? Some sort of awful ICP goblin band?
This is skip, skip, scoot, 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 skeet, skeet, scop. Yeah,
I can't scop, but...
are there horns involved?
Sorry.
Maybe an electric guitar player?
Goblins.
Yeah. And you, with your action, running around the corner, surprise them. You get a 1 action before we roll initiative.
Okay. These are the mud chewer goblins, I can assume, at this point.
Yes.
I'm going to go
Hey, goblins. I'm here to join the Mudcheer tribe. Where are the auditions for joining you, Skoblins?
Roll initiative.
Goblins?
Perception initiative.
Now, I do have Inspire Courage out. As far as I can tell, it does not apply to your initiative. So,
I
just wanted to make sure you all knew that.
I don't think it does.
No, I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that.
12.
12.
Puddle Jumper got a 14.
So we got Scoot, and then Puddle Jumper, and then Zort.
Zort also got a 14.
14.
My perception is a plus one, so I'm probably going to go before PJ.
You win.
So Zort, then Puddle Jumper. They will be going dead last.
All right, so when I run up, I use my interact action, I guess, to talk at them. They don't seem to respond in a professional manner.
No. One of the first things you notice is you recognize two of the goblins from your Teeth Knocker tribe. It's Flebo and Rufus. They've apparently joined the Mud Chewer tribe, being orphans from their old tribe.
Flebo! Rufus!
Rufus.
Rufus! Rufus! You know, I never could get your name right while we were out there in the Chitterwood Forest, but, you know, come on, man. Why y'all gotta be like...
It is Scoot's turn.
And you heard all of that.
Yes.
Me talking to them, me seeming a little scared of
yes.
them.
So what are they doing right now? How do they look?
You don't know. You're still in that tunnel.
Oh, I'm still. Okay. Well, I'm gonna take a few steps up so that I'm within. You know, I can see them.
Uh-huh.
And see where.
So you can move 25 feet.
Okay. I think I'm going to move about 10 feet up. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You step around the corner and you can see that there are four goblins. And you do recognize Flebo and Rufus as well, coming toward you. And they're kind of not in a full charge, but they're coming brandishing weapons, and they are on the attack.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and use my short bow. And
you bastards.
Fire!
All right, roll to hit.
All right.
Now, I guess a strike with a bow is the same as a normal strike. You take an attack, you get minus five on the second, third. Okay.
And I also do have my Inspire Courage active for you, because it will get applied to you.
So my total will be an 11.
11 to hit.
11 to hit.
It shoots just a little bit wide.
Damn it.
You have another action.
I'd like to fire again.
Do it.
Okay. 20.
Natural
20. Natural 20.
Natural 20.
Nice.
Natural 20.
Now,
our first critical.
We have a crit.
Nice.
Oh, good job.
This is where he's like, oh,
right.
By the way, they're wearing armor. It negates everything. Sorry.
They're wearing
bitch,
armor.
I swear.
They're actually oozes.
Flebo and Rufus shaped oozes.
The nice thing about 2.0 is you don't have to confirm that critical. It is a critical. Now, do you have any critical special damage for your weapon besides the doubling of the damage? Some weapons have an additional critical bonus.
Hannah, you have a longbow, don't you?
No, it's a short bow.
Short bow. I'll look it up real quick. I'll tell you.
I think short bows have like a plus additional D something damage.
I think they have
on top.
Deadly D6.
Deadly
D6. Deadly D6.
I've got deadly D10.
Oh, it's a deadly D10 with a short bow.
So the normal damage for a short bow is D6, correct?
So I'm looking at short bow right now in the rule book. The way that it is listed, the short bow is worth 30 silver pieces. It does 1d6 of piercing damage. It has a range of 60 feet. Its reload is listed as 0. It uses 1 plus hands, which means you can use 1 or 2. And it does a deadly D10, which means whenever you critically hit, you roll both dice. So you roll 2d6. And you also roll 1d10 because it's deadly.
Yes. So you get to roll 2d6 plus 10.
2d6
plus d10.
2d6 plus 1d10.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
Yes.
Okay.
Roll the dice.
6.
Nice. So 6. Which one did you shoot, Flebo or Rufus?
Flebo. He was my ex-boyfriend.
Merciless.
It's the ex, yeah.
Drama.
All right, next is a 2.
So eight points of damage plus
2 points of deadly.
Nice.
Plus 1.
11 points total.
Nice shot, Hannah.
You shoot first crit.
You shoot the arrow, and at first you're not even sure if you hit him or not. It just flies right through him, and then you notice it just kind of falls over to the side with a hole in his throat. Instant death. You almost doubled his hit points.
Nice.
Oh, Flebo.
And that is actually a mechanic in this game now. If at any point in time, as a player character, a enemy does double your health points, it is instant death. It is dying for condition.
And
max hit points, not just your current hit points.
Right,
too.
Not current, max.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's, technically it's at 0 hit points and dying. -2. Death, -2.
It was critical hit that critical went hit. To 0.
But it's got a dying level of -2, or dying level 2. Or
yes, dying level 2.
It's got dying condition 2.
Dying condition 2.
Dying level, yeah. Dying
However,
condition.
However,
you have to wrap our head around that.
It applies to them as well. So if it was double their maximum hit points, it is dead. D-E-D, dead.
It had 6 hit points.
Yeah, so it's dead.
Close.
She did 11. Close, or she did 11.
Yeah, so almost instant death.
Almost. I apologize, GM.
Excellent shot, though.
Nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank
Zort.
Okay, so for my first action, I am going to go ahead and cast Inspire Courage.
All right.
First action. Second action, I'm going to take a stride out into the corridor, and I'm going to position myself 5 feet away from Rufus.
Rufus.
And once I get 5 feet away from Rufus, I'm going to use my spear with reach, and I'm going to attack. All right, so I rolled a 3, and with my pluses, it's going to be a 5 total.
5 is not close.
I assume not. I'm used to this.
So that was Inspire Courage, a movement, and a shot.
Yes.
Or an attack.
Yep. Even with my Inspire Courage, I still can't hit anything.
No, they're a little more nimble than a pile of ooze. Puddle Jumper.
Rufus. Flebo. Why you gotta be this way, man? Come on. We were in a tribe together. We raided together.
And now I'm gonna stick you with a staff. Natural 20.
Nice! Another crit! 2 crits in a row in the same combat.
That's awesome.
Checking these dice. Check these dice. Yeah. There's loaded dice.
I really feel like with the new critical system, we're going to be seeing a lot more critical hits and critical failures.
I agree.
I, too, did 11 points of damage.
11 points of damage. And you're using, what are you using?
A
quarterstaff?
2-handed staff.
Oh, you give it the home run hit. You almost take its head completely
nice.
Off. Just double-handed.
And
home
I'm
run.
So sorry, Rufus. So sorry.
And then there's one standing just to his left, and he will receive a total of 16 on that, a hit, for the attack.
16's a hit.
11 for that attack.
11's a miss.
Yeah, because I got to take a -5 because it was my second smack. All
it's
right.
It's going to be kind of hard to get used to, too.
Don't forget my Inspire Courage.
And then on my third attack, I also rolled a natural 20.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Holy crap, man.
What?
All right, so this is an unusual occurrence for us. This doesn't happen. This is going to skew our results for this playtest to send into Paizo because we're not dying.
Right. Well, good old Puddle Jumper, he rolled a total of 11 points of damage on that next critical hit.
All right, so I'm going to kind of take back what I said earlier about the first hit. Rather than the home run hit, you come in ninja style with that staff, drop it down, and do just a big double kick between the two of them. Kick them simultaneously, both in the head, and they both fall over dead.
I saw that back in Magnemar. It was a wonderful play, and I enjoyed every second of it. You should have seen these ninjas flipping around on stage.
Jackie Chan.
And I just did it myself.
And you got another attack, don't you?
No, that was 3. That was a -10 on that attack.
Are they dead?
Oh my god, a -10 on a natural 20. That's awesome.
But a nat 20 always
critical.
Always hits. So, you know what? What was the total, though?
The total would have been 11.
That's not actually a critical. A 20 is always a hit. A 20 is not always a critical, though.
That's okay. Is it not? I thought a natural 20 was always a critical.
I don't think so, because that missed.
He's
with
probably,
a -10, right. That's a miss. But it's a hit, if that makes sense. So
it is. So it's a guaranteed hit, not guaranteed critical.
Correct. So I think if you roll a 20, but this roll, the total still misses, it's a hit, but not a crit.
At least you hit.
So give me some damage. You may still take him out.
I rerolled. It was 9 points of damage.
The action does not change. You just fucked them both up.
Nice.
The third one is Flebo. No, which one did you shoot? Flebo or Rufus?
Flebo.
She shot Flebo.
Flebo did.
You kill Rufus.
And I kill Rufus.
And the other one, right?
So there's one left.
Yes.
He just balls up in a fetal position and starts whimpering.
Don't kill me! Don't kill me! Don't kill me!
Well, I tried to be nice earlier. Why are you so afraid now?
Look what you did!
Kind of gotten over that initial fear, and he's getting up, he's looking around, and you could tell that he is ready to just bolt and run.
I tackle him.
Do a grab. Let's try a grab. That's an athletics check, correct?
I don't know. This is a new
Let's
game.
Let's figure it out.
Absolutely. It is an athletics check against their base reflex DC.
So it's just a flat.
So it's a flat check. They have replaced a lot of I roll against you, whatever you roll, with flat checks. So he's going to make an athletics check against the reflex flat check for your goblin, Matt.
Okay.
11.
All right. You go in for the grab, the tackle. Don't quite hit it. I feel like maybe you kind of overexerted yourself in that Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah, I may have pulled a back muscle there.
You kind of feel like he was going to bolt, but when you go for that dive, he does. And he bolts back the way you guys came. It looks like he's trying to hightail it out of this place.
Zort, grab him!
I'm by the door. Can I try to grab him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're still in initiative. That was his action. Scoot.
I'm going to aim my bow at him and tell him not to move any further. Don't move any further.
Could be.
Intimidation check. All right, so intimidation's actually changed up just a little bit. I think Paizo's trying to get away from intimidating people in the middle of combat, which, as you all know, is something I'm relatively familiar with. In the new playtest in 2.0, intimidation actually takes one full minute of talking to somebody.
Oh.
And then at the end of that minute, you were able to make an intimidation check against their flat will DC. So it's another one of those checks I mentioned earlier where you roll your intimidation, you add all of your bonuses against their flat will DC.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So she unfortunately would actually not be able to intimidate. I imagine that within a minute's time, this guy's going to be gone.
Yeah, it's more like a diplomacy check now.
Yeah.
There were skills, feats, classes, builds dedicated to intimidation in combat. Like, it was a thing. I'm actually kind of glad they got rid of it because it didn't always work for me to be in the middle of a fight, blood boiling, and then just like, better stop or I'll kill you. Well, you're already trying to kill me. That kind of thing, you know? So, Scoop, you got your bow ready. You can't intimidate. It takes a full minute. It's your turn.
Can I, like, ping him in the leg while he's running?
I have not seen any rolls for called shots.
Correct.
I know Pathfinder 1.0 had optional called shots. However, I don't see any called shot rolls for 2.0 or the playtest yet.
So, I haven't either, so I'm going to have to say no.
Can I just chuck my bow and body slam him?
You want to try to tackle him?
Yeah, sure. Tackle.
Go for it.
Tackle.
Yeah.
That's what we'll call it.
So you have to take an action to get closer to him and then attempt an athletics check.
So it's actually also a great time to explain triggers. At the beginning of your round, one of your triggers can be at the beginning of your round, you drop an item. So this would be where at the beginning of your round is the trigger, you're dropping your bow.
Drop the bow, yep.
And now you can do your charge attack.
Okay, yeah. Charge at him and then...
Athletics.
Athletics.
Okay. What you got, Hannah?
Well, I rolled a 3. but my athletics modifier is 5, so total
8.
To 8.
That will not succeed.
Didn't think so.
So that's 2 goblins trying to tackle this one goblin. He is a slippery little bastard. That was 2 of your actions. You still have a 3rd action to go.
I'm going to trip him.
Go for it.
Okay. Okay, 18.
18.
Plus 5 for athletics.
That is that succeeds.
Oh, great.
He is now
nice.
Prone on the ground. So he's running through this swamp. You just kind of stick your foot out, and he gives you the whole Fozzie Bear, and falls straight on his face.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Zort.
So since we've got this guy down, are we out of initiative order, or is he still tackled?
He is still trying to get out of here, so we're still going to be in encounters.
In that case, I'm going to take a stride action to get up close to him, and I do have some hemp rope. I'm going to use my thieving skills, I would assume is the skill I would use for this, to tie a knot around his arms, or not his arms, but his hands and his ankles.
Okay.
Would you say that's a thieving skill? I did not see anything for using the rope to tie knots and whatnot.
There's no sleight of hand that I know of. Thievery may be the bestest, closest thing that we can do to tying somebody up.
Okay, so that is what I'm going to roll. And I got a total of 18.
That succeeds. And being on the ground, surrounded by 2 other goblins, kind of dogpiling on him, he stops resisting. He's kind of, he's scared to death, but he's no longer fighting you.
Now, this is neither Flebo nor Rethus, correct?
No,
they did.
Yep, you killed your friends.
Hey, tell us what your name is.
Dackle.
Dackle, eh?
Dackle.
What are you doing down here, Dackle?
Well, we've been robbing places.
Yeah, I mean, we're aware that you've been robbing places, but why are you working for this asshole Drakus?
Because he takes care of us.
He takes
care of you. It sounds like he's killing you.
We're the chosen ones. He loves us. We're making a we were making a statue in his name over there when you all came in.
And I'll look at the statue. This is like a statue of Drakus in that case?
It looks like it probably could eventually be something that is bipedal.
So it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, they are not the artistic type. But it does look like they were in the middle of building something the far northern edge of this large chamber.
Eh, you call that a statue, eh?
Hey, I know what it is.
All right, I want you to take us to this Drakus. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to take us there under the impression that we are joining your tribe.
No, I'm not.
Can I do like an intimidation check to maybe sway him, or diplomacy?
Which would you prefer?
I would prefer a diplomacy.
Okay.
Then be diplomatic.
And actually, I was going to use a hero point to add, but you can't use hero points to add anymore.
No, heroes are different.
I'm going to go ahead and lay a claim on it. If I don't roll high enough, I would like to use two hero points to re-roll.
Okay, you don't have to decide that now, I don't think. Yeah.
So I rolled an 18 total.
For diplomacy check.
For a diplomacy check.
Okay. What you've done with your diplomacy check is calm him down.
Gotcha.
He doesn't feel like he's in fear for his life.
I don't want to be here. If you're going to go after Drakus, I'm getting out of here. That thing eats us. He sucks the blood out of us and hangs us for the rest of us to be feared.
He points to the north, just a little bit from where you're sitting. You see a natural exit from this large chamber, like it's crumbled. And he points over there.
Go look. He's killing us. I'm not going anywhere near him unless I have to.
Hey, that's why we're trying to help out here, man. I mean, your friend Targa, she told us you guys were dying.
Targa's not dead?
Targa's not dead.
Oh, she's so hot.
Yeah, right?
Careful.
I love those red eyes.
Oh, I love the red eyes.
Careful, Deckle.
Those teeth.
Deckle, I tell you what. Targa's up there with our friend Kaliri. She's taking care of Targa right now. We're going to get down here. We're going to handle this Drakus situation. All right? I'm going to need you going up there. Just tell Targa that you're good. All right? And we're going to take care of Drakus for you.
You let me go?
If you promise, Goblin Pinky, man.
Goblin Pinky.
He holds the pinky up.
All right, Goblin Pinky.
And he kisses his hand.
And I kiss mine.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Be careful. Be careful. Drakus, he's no joke.
Do you know, does he got any weaknesses?
No.
I mean, other than the hunger for goblins, right? Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you two just made eye contact.
I know. Are we best friends?
Yeah.
And Drakus, karate in the garage.
During this conversation, Drakus kind of, not Drakus,
Drekkle.
Drekkle. During the conversation, Drekkle is standing up. Like he's still bound, but he holds his hands out.
All right, I'll go talk to Targa. I'm glad she's alive. Kind of want to see her again anyway.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
And I'll untie his PJ's giving me the stink eye. I'll untie his shackles at this point.
Okay. He brings his wrists out, looks around.
I'll go talk to Targa.
Thanks, Draco. Be safe.
And he kind of trots off, not really running, but moving along.
I want to check Flebo and Rufus's bodies just to see if they have any useful equipment for us, but I also kind of want to take them off to the side and just put them where we can find them later. I mean, they were at one point in time part of our tribe.
Okay.
Well, they ain't no more, so whatever. Did anybody else pick up the fact that he bites and drains the blood of goblins? Or was that just me that picked up on what he just said?
I mean, everybody's got their kinks, right?
But this one is really, really bad.
I don't judge.
And, you know, as Dackle is walking down, he's like, I swear, he's probably a vampire. And he walks on out.
That's kind of what I was trying to say.
Oh, I see. Not just, you know, he's into that kind of thing.
And can I do an occultism check, I would assume, at this point, on what some abilities vampires have?
Sure.
May I aid another?
Is that a cult? All right, so we've got... That is going to be religious.
Religious.
Like undead.
Okay. So for a religion check, I will add a -3
to this roll. I got a total of 17.
17. You're wanting to know some of the powers of a vampire. Am I understanding what you're rolling for?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, with that roll, and I'm kind of going to go off of the idea of Pathfinder 1 succeed by X amount, get some useful information. They will drain the life from you. They will kill you. They will eat you. And also, their attacks will give you, I don't know what it's called in Pathfinder 2, but negative levels. I forgot. I think they call it drained. I'm not sure. But that's what you know about vampires. Just their touch alone will drain the life from you.
Hey, BJ, are vampires undead?
Yes. They are very undead, even though they seem to be quite alive. They're usually very pasty and enjoy spreading grease around in their hair, much like I do, to impress the ladies.
Yeah, you're gonna get that talga, yeah?
And if we can hurry up here, I might actually have a chance.
Before Draco gets her.
Don't worry, PJ. I'll help you, on account of I'm a girl, and I know what girls like.
That frightens me, but I'm also very thankful. He distracted me with thoughts of Targa when we need to be focused on Drakus.
Well, let's go get this Drakus. Drakus.
See, you're a mixture of, what's that guy from
Quagmire.
Quagmire.
Quagmire. I'm getting some serious Quagmire vibes from you. So you want to go check out the bodies of the four goblins that you just slaughtered. They all have basically the same equipment apiece. They all have dog slicers, leather armor, short bows, and each have 10 arrows. Nothing else on them. Statue of the North. Like I said, you can tell it's going to be something humanoid shaped, but their skill and their material together doesn't give much hope for a good statue.
And I'll kick it over. Good old Puddle Jumper doesn't want nothing to do with statues to vampires.
Hey, good idea, Puddle Jumper.
So to the southeast, you have the tunnel from which you guys came. To the southwest is another natural tunnel leaving the area. Almost immediately to your west, to the left, is another chamber that Drakus was pointing to earlier, telling you to go look. To the northwest, almost at the very tip top of this chamber, is another natural exit. And then to the northeast, at the northernmost part of this chamber, is a exit from the area that are actually hewn stone stairs going out to the east from this large area.
I think Puddle Jumper is going to just go ahead and start walking up the hewn steps and headed that direction. And something towards the effect of, well, this looks like the most likely way to go. It is finished. And if I was a vampire, I'd be in more finished territory than natural harp.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Let's get going.
Mm-hmm.
You head down the hallway from the main room, and you hear the sound of dripping water echoing through the chamber. On the north side of the room, a nearly 10-foot tall visage of a woman's face is carved into the wall. Trickles of water run down her cheeks like tears into a foul, polluted reservoir below, which itself drains into a large pool of fetid black water on the south side of the room.
All right, so we see this woman, tears coming out of her eyes. Can I make some sort of knowledge check to see if I recognize who she is?
Well, it's a sculpture of a big face, right? And so the water is dripping out of her eyes like she's crying to the puddle. In Pathfinder 1, I would have said, yeah, give me a religion check to know if you know who this face is. I think one of the things they're trying to get away from in 2.0 is all the knowledge checks, rolling knowledge for everything. They want to give the DM more power to just say, guys, this is something that everybody knows. So when you three walk in and look north to the wall, you see this giant 10-foot face. It's Pharasma. It's the face of Pharasma. You can tell by the hair, the facial features. Pharasma is a very well-known goddess, so no check necessary. You recognize her face. The rest of the room, it's about 20 feet by 80 feet. Directly across from you is another door in this room, but the door is shut. And to the south, on the southern wall, is a door that also has a closed door. And this puddle, the water in this fountain is disgusting. It's bubbly, it's black, it stinks. It is just a foul liquid.
So, apparently a temple to Pharasma containing an undead abomination doesn't sound right.
Yeah, Pharasma, that's one babe I don't mess with.
I mean, she hates undead. Yeah. I can't believe that Drakus can even exist in this temple. So, I think we will be doing the world a favor by taking this Drakus out.
Yeah, I mean, we were already doing Goblin World a favor. I guess we could treat the humankind a little good every once in a while.
I'm going to start using what is passive perception. I think there's a name for it here in 2.0, where everybody has kind of like the reflex score. Everybody has a perception score. So please, everybody, tell me what your perception numbers are.
All at once so he can't understand.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 9! Oh, well, you suck.
Zort has a +1 to perception.
So 11.
I've got a +3.
You're in this chamber. There are two shut doors. What would you like to do?
Good old puddle jumper. We'll jump over the puddle of water in the middle of the floor for just fun. And then he'll go to the door directly across from the entrance we came through and try to open it.
Get to the door. The door is not locked. However, when you open that door, a loud clanging. Think Lord of the Rings when the ancient armor fell down the well and alerted all the goblins and the cave troll. That somebody has set up kind of an alarm with ancient breasted armor that just falls and is quite loud.
So I'll open the door. I hear all this noise, clank, 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 and I go, "Hello, is anybody here? Hello,
eh, PJ, you fool of a teeth knocker."
Fool of a took.
What? So do you guys want to go this way, or would you like to go through the other door?
I mean, you kind of left us with no choice, man. Let's go. Let's do it.
Give me a perception check.
Everybody?
Everybody.
12.
18.
10.
What are you doing?
Oh, Puddle Jumper's just walking down the hallway. 5, 10, 15, 20.
So you go through the door that you just opened with the alarm. It goes down 15 feet, takes a right, and to the left, though, is another kind of hole in the wall that's rough-hewn, maybe from like a kind of like sinkhole, like a whole bunch of waters eventually eroded the area. You can see light coming from the natural cavern direction, but the path to the south is dark, which you can see. And continues on out of sight, out of your vision sight. But there's a path to the left, a passageway, about midway down.
Drakus ain't going to be down there. We're going to keep following this here hallway.
Yeah, I agree with you, BJ. Let's keep going.
Scoot, you are a woman of eloquent words.
Thanks.
You get down about 15 feet, and you look to this left, and there is a chamber that is open about 10 feet down to your left. I think you can see it there on the map.
Well, that does look like an area where Drakus might be hiding, so I think I'll go ahead and head down, see what we can see.
I guess I'll follow you so you don't get into too much trouble.
Do you want to go first, Miss Scoot? I was afraid you were going to say that.
As you walk down the 15-foot chamber, a narrow flight of stairs winds downward, descending into a circular chamber. Stone biers line the walls, but the bodies that may have once rested upon them now lie scattered across the floor. There are bones all over the floor of this room.
So we see these bodies scattered about the area in a very disrespectful manner.
Yes, it is just white bones, several. At least a dozen bodies worth of bones lie all over the floor.
Is there any kind of check we can make to see if we know what type of bones they are? Maybe a survival check or...
You don't need a check. They're humanoid bones. From this distance, you couldn't really determine if they were like elven or half orc or...
So we don't know if they're goblins. That's kind of what I'm looking
for. They're bigger than goblin. Goblins are 3 feet. These are humanoid, like human size, 6 feet. 6 feet tall size skeletons.
Think something bad happened here.
Yeah, I think we fell across some sort of dumping ground.
So there's no Drakus in this room.
From where you're standing, all you can see are the dry, brittle bones and then the lines of beers around the room.
I think I'd like to go up and maybe search through the bones and see if there's anything noteworthy.
Okay. As Zort steps into the room to check out and search the area of the bones, several of the skeletal remains start to shift and form and stand into humanoid-shaped skeletons.
Oh my god.
All looking straight at Zort.
Oh, Zort, you poor man.
Oh man, here we are again.
And we will roll initiative next time.
No, come on. This is too much fun.
So we gotta do this again next week?
Uh-huh. You get to kill something.
New Path is a production of Back Patio Network. Doomsday Dawn is copyright 2018. Doomsday Dawn and Pathfinder 2.0 are trademarks of Paizo. Please follow us on Twitter for all episode updates at Back Patio Net. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever is convenient for you. You can also message me. My name is Wes. Follow me on Twitter at Wes the GM. Thanks for listening. This has been a Back Patio Network production.